For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name's Mike Brammer. Joining me, Mike Coffey from NDNation.com. Okay, Mike, at the beginning of the year, I think, if I remember correctly, you predicted a one-loss season, and that being at the hands of Arizona State, correct?
I think it was a two-loss season, but yeah, Arizona's. I thought it was going to be Arizona State and Michigan State.
Michigan State, okay. So, a two-loss season. We sit here today, and I'll be honest with you, going into the game, because we had the 8 o'clock game Saturday night, I, of course, was paying attention to the other teams on our schedule and was feeling pretty confident what I saw. However, after going after that, the truth is that everything changed. What needs to happen on Saturday that would – well, let me ask you this first. What are your thoughts now on a 10-2 season?
I think a 10-2 season is still doable, but we need some vague semblance of the defense we saw last year, because right now I think play calling was a big problem against Michigan, but the problem in consistent between both games so far this year is the defense is underperformed, at least until maybe close to the end of the game when it mattered. But even against Michigan, they gave up that long drive when all they needed was a stop, get the ball back down four, try to win the game, and they just could not get off the field. I mean, yeah, there were the pass interference penalties might have been questionable, but you know, you never ever put yourself in a position where the refs can screw you over. I mean, if you need to try to take care of business. So I think the reason we are where we're at, and the only way we're going to be able to get to 10-2 is if the defense can just stop shooting itself in the foot. There's too much talent on that side of the ball, I think, for the defense to be playing the way it is, and they really need to show me something Saturday, because if they don't get things turned around, even with the schedule looking more manageable, it still could end up being a long season.
Yeah. How much of the defense do you think is just simply the inability to stop a scrambling quarterback versus the other aspects? I mean, looking at it, I really thought we were pretty good against the run, a straight formation run against Michigan. We didn't get it done. The second Gardner dropped back and then saw his opening and went for it, as it was against Temple. I mean, we kept Temple off guard most of the night and just couldn't contain Kelly Riley at quarterback.
No, I agree with that. And I think the issue right now is the same thing as it was in the Temple game, is our inside linebacker play. I think asking them to have to pay attention to coverage and the quarterback coming out of the backfield possibly is really proving to be problematic for them. And I think last year when Tao was I knew we were going to be missing Tao when he left, but I think that's the area we miss him the most. He had such quickness and really had the ability to cover ground fast. So a scrambling quarterback could be neutralized, because as soon as Tao saw him starting to make a move, he could get there and stop a small play from becoming a big one.
Yeah, and his closing speed was unbelievable, and I think that is clearly being missed this year. There's no doubt about it. We saw it in Temple. We saw it in Michigan. Somehow we got to be able to react to that. I thought it was interesting in the comments coming out of Kelly's mouth, at least this week. Again, all the things I would want to hear him say, and that was he didn't put the blame squarely on the players. He admitted that, hey, we got to do a better job coaching. Intimating that they got outcoached a little bit, and I think they did. I think they know that. I think that the program realizes where they're at, and I like what he's saying. He's saying all the right things. We frankly got kicked in the mouth a little bit and didn't respond, and in crunch time when we needed it, it just wasn't there. Last year in crunch time, it was there. whenever we needed to drive and score, we did. And when the offense needed to drive the length of the field, they would do it. For whatever reason, we don't seem to have that. It doesn't carry over from year to year. And I, even though they made an emphasis of that all throughout the preseason, the fact is we're at where we're at right now, and something needs to change. I do think it's going to be really interesting to see how this team responds against Purdue, because that will probably tell us a lot about where their psyche is right now. If they come out and they struggle a little bit, and Purdue gets a little bit of taste of life and gets a little bit of momentum, in that kind of game, anything can happen. I know everybody's saying, well, wait a minute, they just struggled with Indiana State. They literally got spanked by Cincinnati, who turned around and got beat by Illinois. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think you can't put too much into that. It should be a win for Notre Dame, but it's Notre Dame and Purdue.
Yeah, well, it's I don't know. I'm less apt to say, well, anything can happen, because I mean, the Purdue game looked like an easy win at the beginning of the season, and now they just lost, I think, one of their main offensive threats just went out with a wrist injury, and he won't play. So this game is tailor-made. If this isn't a slump buster, I don't know what is. I think this game is tailor-made for Notre Dame to really get its head together on offense and on defense, because neither of these units look capable really of stopping anybody, especially over the maybe for a quarter, but probably not for a half, and definitely not for an entire game. I mean, I think we should be looking at a comfortable win here, and I wouldn't say it's Purdue, because it's not like Purdue has really had our number in recent years or anything like that. I mean, Purdue has been especially since Joe Tiller left, Purdue's been a bad football team, and when we've performed poorly against them, it's usually been because of... Now, last year had a lot more to do with the jet lag coming home from Ireland than it did anything we were doing, but it was also, I think, another one of those games, kind of like Michigan was, where I think the coaching staff is going in with an idea of something they think they're going to have to do, and even at the beginning of the game, when it's shown they don't have to do it, they do it anyway. I think if last year Brian Kelly went into the Purdue game saying, oh, they've got a really tough front four, we're not going to be able to run on them, we got to throw. And you can't go in with that mindset. You have to go in saying, listen, there's nobody starting on that team that would be in our two deep. Now, they're very well, maybe a couple, but that's the attitude you got to go in with. We out-recruit these guys consistently and constantly. There is no reason we shouldn't be able to line up hat on hat and just blow them off the ball and overwhelm them when they have the ball. So I want to see aggressiveness this Saturday. I want to see aggressiveness on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that more than anything will be the indicator of where the psyche of this team is at. If they come out in any way, shape, or form a little bit flat, I'm going to be incredibly disappointed. I don't think that's going to happen. And I think simply because some of the comments Brian Kelly has made this week, he was asked by a reporter in the press conference, hey, how do you get around the fact that your guys might have a little bit of a letdown playing Purdue and knowing that they struggle with Indiana State? And he said the right thing. Hey, we just lost a football game.
Yeah.
This will not be hard to get these guys up for this game. So I think that, you know, granted, not a lot comes out of what practice has been like this week, but I'm going to guarantee it probably wasn't an easy week of practice, that's for sure.
I'm guessing it wasn't either.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, I'm expecting some of exactly what you're saying. We're going to line up. We may literally run the football 15 straight times to start the game. That wouldn't surprise me at all, and I'm not so sure I would have a bad time with that.
No, I don't think so either. As I said, we should have the ability to dominate these guys, so why not do it from the opening whistle? Just punch them right in the mouth, just as we got punched in the mouth last week. And the advantage of the physical, like you said, running 15 times in a row, you're beating up their front seven. By the time you get to the late third and fourth quarter, those guys are going to be gassed. And then and then things that were 4 and 6 yard runs become 9 and 15 yard runs, and the end of the game is real easy. I think we have the ability for physical dominance on both lines. I really want to see that on Saturday, because that's going to give us the result we want. We want this game not to be in doubt. I want to see Andrew Hendricks play the entire fourth quarter. I want to see Greg Bryant get plenty of carries. I want to be able to see guys who haven't had a chance to play much so far. I want, and in a comfortable win, we're going to be able to do that. And I think this team should be very capable of doing so.
Yeah, and I think that just that the depth of the backfield, just as you mentioned, I think that alone is going to do it against Purdue. So it's not going to surprise me at all if we come out and we do nothing but just fire left and right, tackle left, tackle right, and then every now and then just keep them honest. So from that standpoint, Tommy may come up to the line of scrimmage and recognize man-on-man and go to it and audible out of, but something tells me a majority of the calls are going to be to the backs, and therefore we're just going to pound these guys. And with them having no depth whatsoever on the defensive line, they're going to be gassed, as you said, and they may even feel it towards the end of the first half.
Exactly. And the other thing I'd really like to see is I realize we'll probably be throwing some passes on Saturday, but I'd really like to see the play action a little bit more. If we run the way you and I are describing, they will just be ripe for a play action pass to Nicholas or somebody, just, especially out of the pistol. If I haven't said it too many times this year so far, I love the pistol formation. I think it is so much better for Notre Dame than the shotgun or the empty backfield or whatever, because I like the fact that the backs are already moving towards the line when they get the ball. It makes play action more effective. It's just so much better for us from my perspective, and I'd like to see a lot of that on Saturday. I don't care. I mean, obviously I want to see us run out of it a little bit more, but if we're running passes out of it, that's completely fine. Just use that formation, because it really gives the defense so much to think about. There's nothing that drives me more nuts than seeing Tommy Reese standing there in an empty backfield, because you might as well tell everybody but the down lineman, drop back into coverage, because there is absolutely no chance that Tommy Reese is running this football.
Yeah, I agree with you. What about just out of curiosity, do you have any kind of thoughts at all about Tuitt and where he's at right now physically? I mean, I think for the first time in a long time, he did not have a recorded tackle on Saturday against Michigan.
You know, I know he had medical issues in the off season. It looks, at least, and it's from what I've read on some of the various sites of people who cover practice and the newspaper articles, he is heavier this year. It's disappointing to me. I realize that that he had, as I said, medical issues and all that, but that's the kind of thing you should be preparing for. I mean, if you know you're not going to be as active and you're not going to be able to exercise as much, drop your caloric intake a little bit. I mean, I certainly hope there was not a concerted effort to have Tuitt and Nix show up 30 pounds heavier each. Because if that was an actual plan, that was a really poorly thought out plan. Because it really seems like they've lost the quick. Even though Capron Lewis Moore isn't in there, there still doesn't seem to be a lot of quickness. They're not getting to the quarterback the way they were able to last year. One of the reasons last year's defense was so good was they were able to create pressure just with four guys. It seems like every other play we were blitzing like crazy against Michigan. We had to blitz a little bit against Temple. And when the blitzes don't get there, well, then you're really screwed, because you're putting so much pressure on your defensive backfield trying to cover man-on-man. And that's where you end up with a lot of pass interference penalties and stuff like we saw on Saturday. So I think we really need Nix and Tuitt to become the Nix and Tuitt they were last year. And it's possible that if they're heavy and they need to try to get down, I don't know how long it takes to do that in a healthy way, but I can't imagine it's going to be much before like Oklahoma or maybe even Southern Cal. But if they're still heavy, they need to do something about it, because right now they're lumbering around, and lumbering ain't going to get it done.
Yeah, I did think Nix played pretty well. I mean, he did have he's been a handful both games, and I think that he's seen a lot of double teams.
Yes.
I thought he played really well against Michigan. He did cause some havoc up the middle. So I don't see it as much as I do with Tuitt, but I also think that, you know, Tuitt unfortunately was in a situation that he faced. And yeah, I think you're right. He probably could have cut down on his caloric intake, but the truth is, you know, he's a young kid. He's going to eat like he always eats.
Yeah. And especially considering, I mean, I know that he was on campus for a while, but I can certainly see them over the summer, maybe not. I mean, do they even have training table over the summer? I mean, I don't know if they do. And if they don't, it could be real easy just to, I mean, all it takes is an extra couple of burgers here and there. Well, now you're walking around with an extra 20 pounds on you. So hopefully right. he's using these first couple of weeks of the season to get back into the playing weight that we want. And my hope is, like I said, by the time Oklahoma and Southern Cal come around, that we'll see like the Stephon Tuitt that we remember from last year, like running that fumble back against Navy, like however right. many yards, and practically looking like a tight end. So I'm hoping we see that. It certainly seems like from what I'm reading when he's interviewed that he realizes there's an issue and he knows he needs to get it fixed. Because I'd hate to see him eat his way out of the first round in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think he knows it. I mean, I think it, from what I've heard and everybody that's talking about it, he knows the situation he's in. He's doing his best to get out of it. It was just a little concerning that, you know, he went through an entire game without a single tackle in a big game like that. And it's going to see, I'll be interested to see how he reacts this Saturday. And obviously, as we progress here, you're right. I'd like to see him make some sort of an effort to really try and get himself back to where he was at, because I think at that point he's a dominating player, and when you got somebody like that, it makes a huge, huge difference.
Especially with Nix right next to him. As you said, Nix is commanding a lot of double teams, and it's up to Tuitt and Sheldon Day and those guys to take advantage of that, because if Nix is being double teamed, that means someone somewhere has an opportunity, and that someone needs to take advantage. So even if you have Nix and Tuitt both getting double teamed, that leaves one guy on Sheldon Day, and he needs to beat his man and get in there. So
yeah,
I'll be watching that on Saturday as well.
Right, exactly. I'd like to see for sure a dominating defensive line effort, especially on Saturday, and that will bode well. I think I'm looking forward to that more than anything, is to establish some of that on Saturday. I do think that offensively, yeah, we will pound the ball. I also think that we'll find out a lot based on penalties and turnovers where the psyche of this football team is. I think we're going to be happy, because I got to believe that this week, yeah, these guys have been beaten up, but they've been beaten up for all the right reasons, which is attention to detail. It's finishing plays. It's not making penalties. It's not making mental mistakes. It's that kind of stuff that this football team needs to be at. They got the talent. This isn't like what it was in Brian Kelly's first year when we lost to Stanford and he walked over to Swarbrick and said, hey, look, that's how we're going to be in a couple of years. We now have that toughness. We now have the athletes we need. Now it's a matter of just executing. So I think he knows that. He said all the right things. They're headed in this direction. In my mind, if they come out of Purdue with a convincing win and do it with some moxie, and they've got a little bit of that swagger back, you can't get it all back in a week after a game like Michigan, but they're going to need that as they head into the next couple games beyond this, and it's going to be critical that this game ends up being a stepping stone for us.
Oh, I agree, and I think the schedule is working out well for Notre Dame. When you figure you've got a team that you should absolutely pound this weekend on the road, the only way it could possibly be easier if it was at home. Next week, you've got a decent team in Michigan State. I mean, they've been having troubles on offense, but we're having troubles on defense, so who knows what could end up happening there. But a very tough but beatable team at home, and then you have Oklahoma coming in. So it kind of like you should be able to get yourself on an upward trajectory and hit that Oklahoma game just right. And I mean, you they're a tough team, but they're at home. You've warmed up with a patsy and a decent team, so you, from a condition standpoint and a psyche standpoint, you should be right where you want to be. That's part of the reason I originally thought that Arizona State was going to be a loss, because you've got that game right after Oklahoma. And Arizona State, they're not great, but they're not bad, and that's exactly the kind of team that can jump up and bite you, which is why I had them as one of the two losses this year.
Yeah, which makes sense. I do think that if we win well at Purdue, Michigan State defensively is good. They're always usually a pretty strong defensive team. That's always going to be a battle for us. But I agree with you. I think a solid win there, and anything, you just need to win that football game. That sets you up well for Oklahoma.
But as with everything, the defense is going to be in the next two games. We should go 2-0, but I want to see good. If we see good defensive performances in both of them, I'll feel a lot better about Oklahoma than I do right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think there's got to be some changes and some effort, some responses to what we've been suffering so far in these first two games. Hopefully there'll be some adjustments there. And I got to believe that the coaching staff knows that, they see it, they realize it. They're going to do what they need to do. And the players just need to play. I mean, you just got to step up and play. And that's why they're in the big lights here and playing in these kind of games. So hopefully that'll happen. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great game. It could be the stepping stone we need, and that'll be the right direction they need to take. And we can walk out of West Lafayette with a win. So from that standpoint, that's always a good thing.
I agree.
All right, good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.